Welcome to the Hacking Happy Podcast, a podcast designed to arm you with the tools and experiments that enable you to define happiness on your terms and inject more of it into each day. I'm your host, Penny Lacasso. I'm the world's first happiness hacker, and I have a bold mission. A mission to teach 10 million humans how to realize happiness on their terms by 2025. So, if you're ready to ignite your self-belief and inject more of what makes you feel good into each day, let's get started. Greetings, beautiful happiness hackers. Welcome to another episode of the Hacking Happy Podcast. I'm back after a short break. I spent the last 2 weeks in Queensland with friends, family, and camping on Fraser Island with my son and my boyfriend, with dingoes and goannas and dolphins jumping out of the water. And to say it was a magical experience, one, because of the connection to nature, but two, because I got to see friends I haven't seen for over a year and a half, like so many of us due to lockdowns and holidays being cancelled. It was truly beautiful just to reconnect with two of the most important things in my life, people I love. And nature. And I wanted to share off the back of that, the break that I took, as many of you who have listened to the podcast would know, was off the back of wanting to reset and really revisit where directionally I was taking things with the business off the back of a massive failure, which you can have a listen to a couple of podcasts back. I think it was around episode 18 or 19. And I still am getting feedback from that failure podcast and being so honest in sharing what that felt like, what it looked like, and the fact that even though so many of us portray ourselves as successful on social media, how important it is for us to continue to share what goes on behind the scenes in the context of things not always working out, things constantly fucking up, and what we learn from those experiences and how those experiences help us grow. And off the back of that feedback, while I was away, I got an email from someone who has been watching me for a while and listening. And it was a beautiful email where she'd invested quite a lot of time giving me feedback on her experience and also her observations around the lead up to this massive failure. And one of the things that she said that really struck a chord and made me want to touch on it today was that she loved how I'd shared my failure, but she felt it was a little bit insensitive at the end where I said, well, I've had this massive failure. I didn't make any money out of this particular product that I launched. And now I'm off for 2 weeks on an island retreat. And she said context would have been really helpful around that because there's so many people that have lost jobs or can't afford, you know, holidays, especially island retreats, and it just felt a little bit insensitive. So I just wanted to put some context around that because this island retreat that I'd been spending the last 2 weeks at Fraser Island, or this holiday that sounded really extravagant, was actually the cheapest holiday I've ever had because, like so many people, I'm looking at ways to conserve my savings and my money because obviously my business has been impacted in the last 12 months. So this expensive, extravagant holiday, or the perception of it, was actually a holiday. It was probably the cheapest one I've ever had, where we were camping at $6.75 a night for a campsite, and we stayed with friends and family the whole time. So I just want to put context around that because I think it's important. I don't want to sound like I've had this massive failure and, you know, I'm rich and now I can go on this holiday, even though things in my business hadn't worked out as I'd planned, you know, over the last couple of months. I, like many people, have been impacted by COVID, and yeah, I just thought it was important to share that. So, into today's podcast. So the day I arrived back from my two-week reset with my family, I started something that I have longed to do for such a long time. Those of you who know me will know that I've been practicing yoga for about 14 years now. I became extremely passionate about it in lockdown. Melbourne experienced about 6 months of lockdowns last year, and doing yoga, I think, was what kept me sane during that period. And when I came out of lockdown, I just thought, fuck it, you know what? I'm going to go and do my teacher training. I've wanted to do it for years. I really want to get better at my practice. I don't know whether I'll teach, but I'm just going to jump in and say yes to it. So the day I arrived back from my holiday, I started my 200-hour teacher training, and I'm spending the next 8 weekends, so I'm like 7 days a week jam-packed between work and yoga training, the next 8 weekends learning how to become a yoga teacher. And I just can't help but feel that it's such a strong connection to the work that I do. It can only benefit how I support you in realizing your happiness. And who knows, I might even run a few online classes if you get lucky, perhaps might run some experimental ones so that you can give me feedback and see again behind the scenes and the fact that things aren't perfect as we learn and grow. Now, as I said, this was something hugely important to me. I wanted to do for a while, but I constantly put it off. And you might be able to relate to this. I bet you there's something in your world that has sat there and nagged at you. I kept putting it off because there was never a right time to do this teacher training. I just never felt like the timing was right. And I think it's really interesting with timing and things being right or waiting for that. It's a bit like being ready. And the podcast I did a few months ago on being ready, the timing's never right. It's like having a child. There's never a right time to have a child. There's often never a right time to do something that is a big commitment. But it's, I suppose, the courage to just step in and do that. Now, starting this training has stirred a number of emotions in me because I'm a student again. And I just think it's interesting in life because all of us have the ability to be both a teacher and a student in every day. But I'm really in the student zone again with this training. So I've been feeling discomfort, this need to belong, because it's probably one of the first situations where I've been with a large group of people. There's 17 of us learning or sharing an experience in a bloody long time. And that's been really interesting. You know, I haven't been in a room with 17 or 20 people for probably a year. So it was really important to me to belong. I've had feelings of, you know, worrying whether I'll be good enough at teaching yoga if I decide to do a little bit of that. It feels like I'm learning a new language. That's probably the best way to explain it. And in many ways I am, because I have to learn a lot of Sanskrit. And it's funny, even though it feels so foreign and so uncomfortable, like I mentioned earlier, I've been practicing yoga for 14 years, but it still feels really new. But that discomfort and that pain and all of these feelings help me to realize that I'm exactly where I need to be, because growth occurs in discomfort, it occurs in pain. Now, it's also highlighted to me that many of my yoga poses have been incorrectly performed for years, right? So this is what's fascinating when we start to learn about something perhaps we've had a passion about in the background. I thought after all this time, you know, I'd know yoga intimately, but I didn't. And in the first weekend of training, I learned that I know a lot less than I thought. And I think, again, just the things this is bringing up, I think often we think we know a lot about a certain topic, and then we are perhaps presented with information about that topic and we start to look at it through a new lens, and it challenges us to say, well, maybe I don't know as much as I could know. Maybe I could get better at this, even though I thought I was great. When I kicked off the teacher training, one of the first questions that we started to explore was, what is yoga? And I think it's a really interesting question. It's a simple question, right? And trust me, there's method to my madness. Why am I talking to you about yoga when I'm a happiness hacker? And we're here, you know, to talk happiness. Well, that simple question was something I'd never considered, even though I practiced yoga for 14 years. I'd never asked myself, what is yoga? And it was this lack of consideration that was impacting my ability to truly leverage the power of yoga and to shape the version of me that I wanted to become through this practice. Now, this got me thinking about what I want to take you through today. It got me thinking about the importance of definitions. Not the dictionary kind of definitions, but the ones that we personally attach to words that are important in our lives. We rarely consider or create the space to reflect on our definition of these important words in our life. And these definitions and how we define these important words is what enables us to shape our lives in a way that's meaningful to us. Yeah, now, perhaps this sounds a bit random, right? But it's why today I wanted to create the space for you and I to reflect on how you define happiness, because that's what we're here for, right? How do you define happiness? And whether that definition is serving you, and if not, how can you redefine happiness on your terms so that you can live and breathe more of it in the everyday? Imagine what it would feel like to create the space
the self-belief and the skills to shape the life you long for now. Hacking Happiness, the book, is here. This is not your usual book. You won't read it cover to cover in 3 days. It is designed as a navigation tool. You'll read a little, take pause, reflect, write in the margins, tag it with sticky notes, and most importantly, make progress around injecting more of what lights you up, more of what matters to you, into each and every day. It is literally a compass to help you overcome the overwhelm, build your self-belief, and lean into what you long for through what I term imperfect experimentation. Each chapter is jam-packed with case studies to inspire you, science and questioning to challenge you, and experiments to help you hack your way to happier every day. So what are you waiting for? Grab your copy at iwanthackinghappiness.com and let's get started.
The reason I want to challenge you to come up with a definition for happiness on your terms is because how you define happiness is foundational to supporting you in injecting more of it into every day. For years, I believed that happiness was a final destination, one that I would magically arrive at once I ticked a series of boxes in the societal domain of success and acquired a whole heap of material things or elements that I suppose gave the external impression of a certain lifestyle. I believe that when I found this elusive happiness that so many of us are chasing, that I would be forever satisfied in my life. Sadly, living with this definition of happiness for 39 years left me constantly feeling burnt out, overwhelmed, and inadequate. And I just wonder if perhaps maybe you're feeling the same. Now, that was until I started to question whether the definition of happiness that I had long accepted was actually flawed. So is your definition that you've been living by, is it not your definition? Is it one you've inherited, that you've grown up with and perhaps never challenged? Now, the reality is this definition of happiness being a destination, a place you will arrive at when you've ticked all these boxes and acquired all of these things and got this certain lifestyle, it is flawed. And I speak about this at length in my book, Hacking Happiness. You see, happiness is not a destination. It is a state of mind. And you don't need to be in it every moment of every day. Not only is that not possible, it's actually unhealthy because life is complex. We know this off the back of the last year, and it's uncertain. Ups and downs are completely and utterly normal. And the science shows that those who lead the most fulfilled lives, it's the ones who are emotionally diverse. Now, there's a term for this. It's called emo diversity. And again, I share more on this idea of emo diversity and the science behind it in the book. But those who are emotionally diverse lead the happiest lives. These are the people who have learned to let go of the need to be happy every minute of the day and have not only accepted the ups and downs that come with being alive, but they've also come to appreciate them and use them as levers for learning and growth. Now, it's this mindset and this behavioral shift that helps these people, these emotionally diverse people, lean into uncertainty, embrace all emotions, both positive and negative, and adapt to their environment with meaning and intention. Those of us who choose to intentionally adapt to the uncertainty of life unlock the doors to not only possibility, but to the true potential that we have, which I firmly believe, and I know this through my work, so many of us have potential that is left on the table because we don't lean in to all of the emotions that life presents at us. Now, it was this light bulb moment for me, right? And understanding this through my research and through talking to people who led fulfilled and happy lives, this light bulb moment helped me to redefine happiness on my terms. Through my years of research and questioning how we define happiness, I began to understand that while we may have control, well, we may not have control over every aspect of our environment, we do have control over ourselves and the choices that we make, including those that affect both our mental and our emotional health. So it was this insight that enabled me to redefine happiness on my terms. So here is how I now define happiness. Happiness is being able to ride the wave of every emotion that life throws at you, knowing that you can come out the other side just a little better than what you were before, because you have the skills, the resources, and the support structure around you to make that happen. It's this definition, my definition, that has enabled me to unapologetically shape the life that I want to live. It's helped me navigate uncertainty with intention and significantly diminish these feelings that I mentioned at the beginning, feeling exhausted and overwhelmed in life. And so, as part of today's podcast, now I want to hand the baton over to you and give you your turn, provide you with the opportunity to set this foundation or reset your foundation and define happiness on your terms, because how the dictionary defines it isn't how you have to live. You can create any definition you want as long as it is meaningful for you and acts as a guidepost for how you want to live your life. So I want to give you a short little exercise to do that. So I'm going to get you to take a moment, get yourself comfortable. If you're standing, perhaps sit down or press pause. If you're out walking and listening, perhaps press pause and wait till you get home. But grab a comfortable seat. Pop both your feet on the ground, so uncross your legs. Drop your shoulders away from your ears. And when you're ready, just close down your eyes for a moment. I want you to take two deep breaths in your own time. In through your nose. And perhaps sigh it out through your mouth. You might need that at this point in time, depending where you're at. And just another one, in through your nose, out through your mouth. Now I just want you to drop into your body, literally drop in. Just notice how you feel right now in this moment. Acknowledge it. Now I want you to bring your attention to your heart center and ask, how do I define happiness? What does it look like on my terms? What does it look like in the context of how I show up in the everyday? Notice what comes into your head. Don't filter it. Don't judge it. Just observe what comes into your head when you ask yourself the question, what does happiness look like on my terms? Now, when you've got an image, or a word, or whatever it is that comes up for you, just take a snapshot of it like a Polaroid picture with your mind's eye. Then I want you to take another couple of deep breaths. And when you've done that, open up your eyes. Grab either your phone, if you take notes in your phone, but I'm a big fan of pen and paper. I'm a bit old school in that way because I feel like it really helps us process things better when we write with our hands. So grab a pen and paper and just note down what came up for you. Don't seek perfection. If it's not polished, if it's just words, if it's pictures, it doesn't matter what it is, just capture it. We're here for progress, not perfection, right? You can finesse this definition over time. I often find leaving these ideas off the back of processing them through a visualization, leaving them to marinate for a day, 2 days, even a week, and then coming back to them, create a more impactful outcome and enables us to truly ground ourselves in these definitions and the meaning that we attach to them. Now, I would, as always, want to invite you to share what came up for you. Absolutely love how I have been inundated off the back of inviting people through the podcast to give me feedback on episodes. If something came up for you and you want to share it, drop me an email, hello@hackinghappy.co. I would love to hear what came up for you. Or you can jump into or slide into my DMs either on Insta or Facebook. Just have a look for Hacking Happy Co. Now, if you'd like to dig a bit deeper into this defining happiness on your terms and perhaps unlock more of the potential and possibility that sits behind it. You may also want to take a look at the really, really succinct, short online program that we have, which is Start Simple, Be Happy. And this is a brilliant way to kickstart taking your definition of happiness and turning it into something that is meaningful for you in the context of how you want to show up in the everyday and the behaviors and habits you want to cultivate to make that happen. So if that's of interest, I'll pop it in the show notes, along with an article that I wrote on this exact topic for the Harvard Business Review, which provides a whole lot more detail around the research that I've done to arrive at this definition. I'll pop that in the show notes as well. And other than that, I just want to say it's so nice to be back. And I hope that your week has been magical. Until next time, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining me for today's episode of the Hacking Happy podcast. If there was something that ignited a flame or sparked a thought within you from this conversation, please take a screenshot and share it on your preferred social media platform. Feel free to tag me in Hacking Happy Co. or Penny Licalso. Reviews are so important to reaching my goal of making 10 million beautiful humans just like yourself happier. So if you enjoyed your listen, please take a moment, leave a review and a rating on your preferred podcast listening platform. Until the next episode, remember, happiness looks good on you. Bye for now.